You know, every entrepreneur has a story, and there's perhaps no better storytellers than musicians.
If you're going to start anything, especially like being an entrepreneur, you got to build, you got to build, you got to build. Done is better than perfect. Sometimes it's done, okay, did the best we could. Let's put it out into the world and let's go on to the next one.
Hey, what's good? I'm Benjamin Gottlieb, and you are listening to Shopify Masters, your companion for starting and building a business. My guest today flew in all the way from Vancouver to be here with us in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Darren Metz, also known as Young D, and Quentin Nice, known as Young Tribes. They are the musical duo behind the band Snotty Nose Res Kits. They're in town giving a preview of their new album and also some merch during the Santa Fe Indian Markets, merch they sell on Shopify. We're also chatting today as part of our series spotlighting indigenous merchants and entrepreneurs on Shopify through our Build Native program. D, Tribes, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. That was quite the introduction.
Oh, well, you know, I get paid to do this, so yeah, what can I say? So you two are cousins,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Working with family is not always easy, but tell me, why did you want to start a band together?
I mean, like, we've always just been around each other. Like, we grew up a couple of houses down from each other. You know what I mean? So,
five doors to be exact.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had like a open door policy between our families, you know, and that relationship just really started from there. And we grew up playing basketball together. And, you know, it's a game of imperfection.
just like anything in life, making music.
And like, so, you know, being able to deal with, you learn how to deal with adversity when you play like a team sport. You know what I mean? And we took that, everything that we learned from that, into music. So it's like, you know, sometimes I'm going to make mistakes or he makes mistakes. It's like, okay, let's not dwell on it. We just keep moving. And, you know, our relationship goes beyond music. You know what I mean? Like, if we weren't doing music, we'd still be chilling and hanging out together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right, because of your relationship growing up together.
Exactly.
Now, you guys grew up in Kitimat, that's right, in Canada?
Yeah.
And, exactly. You know, I'm just curious, Travis, what was it like growing up there?
It was good. It was, we're from like a... we're actually 15 hours away from Vancouver. We're in a small rural community called Kitimat. And yeah, there's what there is to do there is what you make of it. You know what I mean? You just got to get out and do it. So like for me, I was always like an entrepreneur, always wanted to make clothes, always wanted to make music, always wanted to make money. And yeah, for me, like this kind of stuff just came second nature.
Well, it came second nature, but clearly your relationship together, I just met you guys recently a few moments ago. Clearly tight, right? Yeah. But you have listeners and audience and fans well beyond this small town where you grew up in. Describe how the music scene has evolved, particularly for Native and Indigenous musicians like yourselves.
Mm-hmm. You saw the shift like around the time when like I Don't Know More was happening. And that's when you really started to see like land protectors and, you know, academics just really starting to
mesh
and reclaim the space and like really work together. You know what I mean? And like when we first started, we just wanted to make music for them, something that they could listen to. And obviously something that we wanted to hear because, you know, growing up for us, obviously there were Indigenous artists, but like social media wasn't social media yet. You know what I mean? So like you think of the times of like MySpace and things like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure. So I'm old enough to have a good MySpace page, you know what I'm saying?
And just to see the growth and the evolution over the years, it like once it started, it just kind of just like took off like full send.
Yeah, and I come from like a line of like land defenders as well. So all that kind of all the stuff that I Don't Know More and people that were like running Indigenous movements back in Vancouver, which we call our community, it just all came second nature for us, and it was just so easy to mesh with them and just become part of the community. So I think with us, just coming from a small community, it's easy to find community. So moving to a big city, it was easy for us to find our people in our space that we felt comfortable in, and then we just made it our own and ran with it.
Well, Trebs, you bring up something really interesting. Both of you do, actually. This concept of being a land defender. You know, it's perhaps not something that our audience is so familiar with. Can you just tell us, what does that mean exactly? And how is it represented in your music?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like, with Native people, Native artists, Native activists, and just people that are forward-thinking, I think you can't really separate identity from land and just Native people in general. I can't talk about myself without talking about land that I'm from and that I'm here to protect. So for us, you know, like with the way that our rights work, because of colonization, there's this thing called the Indian Act. And if we cannot survive off of our territories, then we forfeit the land that we reside on or that we're there to protect. So if our fishing, our hunting, anything that makes that land sustainable is not sustainable for life anymore, then the rights to that land is now forfeited to the government. So for
government
us,
of Canada, you mean?
Yeah, the government of Canada. I don't know how it works in the States. I'm pretty sure it's similar. But yeah, we're from unceded territory, which means we didn't give up our land rights or we didn't sign any deals with the government. So it's still ours. And there's a lot of movements around industry coming through our territories and trying to take that land from us. And people are fighting tooth and nail, and because it's their existence. That land is our existence. So the resistance is real for it.
And you two are from the Haisla community, is that right? The Haisla tribe. Please, Dee, tell me, how is this represented in your music? This concept of defending your land and this concept of your own individual identities?
Yeah, it's just like, we didn't really realize fully what we had growing up until we moved away and started living in Vancouver. Because now you're around a bunch of tall buildings, skyscrapers, city life. It's go, 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 go. And then
people from all over the world.
Yeah, exactly. And that made us realize, like, when we look back at our hometown, to be surrounded by beautiful mountains and ocean. You know what I mean? We're like, you don't necessarily have to worry about gang life. You got to worry about wildlife. You know what I mean? And like, you know, we have family that just make their living fishing. You know what I mean? You have family that supply like the food through hunting or like whatever it may be, you know what I mean? And say like when it comes to the land defenders, that's like what they're protecting. Cause, you know, obviously there's like oil companies or like whatever it may be trying to put like a pipeline through the land or whatever. And if that does happen, one leak and then, excuse my language, but like the water's fucked, you know what I mean? And there goes
everything. It goes someone's livelihood.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So we both have family that has, you know, worked their ass off to protect, you know, especially.
Yeah, my uncle Gerald, he's actually one of the guys that is solely responsible in a duel that they used to have that protected the Kitlope from being logged. And that's a huge feat.
And the Kitlope, I'm sorry, is that a...
The Kitlope is like it's like a very important rainforest to our world, I guess you could say. He stopped that from being extracted. So like, yeah, I come from a long line of land defenders. That's what I mean. Both on the political side and just on the frontline side. I guess that goes hand in hand as well. And frontline means like people that occupy land that is about to be fucked.
Yeah, and that's where like a lot of inspiration comes from, really. It's just like our family and our community. You know what I mean? They're like the backbone of who we are.
Well, speaking of your messaging and what you two are trying to accomplish with your music, you've been working on a new album called Red Future. I'm just curious, why did you decide to choose this particular event, the Santa Fe Indian Market, to launch some of these new tracks and also some of your new merchandise?
Yeah, I mean, Red Future in itself is about Indigenous futurism and just how we see Indigenous people, mostly creatives, occupying space and taking up space in all parts of the world. And, you know, Indian Market is a good place to start for us because we've wanted to come out here for years. I know his wife has told us about her times here in the Indian Market. Like 10 years ago, she used to come out and like hitchhike across two countries to be here. And
so a long
like
journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shake my head. Yeah.
And for us, it's like we wanted to come and just be like right in the mix of things and just get inspired by inspired natives, you know? Cause like I'm excited to see what everybody brings to the table and what all the hype is about out here, because I know that there's a lot of really talented designers and jewelers and artists out here. So I just wanted to come and just be inspired.
Yeah, and it's a hell of a place to network too, you know what I mean? Like you got everybody from so many different nations and tribes all coming to Santa Fe. And, you know, it's just a perfect opportunity. And it's almost like good marketing in itself, you know what I mean? Because we're going to preview some songs from the album, you know what I mean? And we got the new merch to show people, like, hey, this is what's coming whenever, you know, the tour starts. Mm-hmm. And it's just opportunities, you know? Sometimes, well, especially in business, like, you can't let an opportunity pass by because you don't know if it's going to come around again.
And it's just the brush on that networking thing too, man. Like, you know, like, we talk about community and, like, this is, like opportunity to meet more people from community. Like, Indian country is a very small place when you think about it, you know? Like, especially with social media the way it is, you know, who's who and what's what, you know what I mean? And, like, coming out here, like, we've met some of our best friends just by coming to places like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have, like, lifelong connections with people just from coming to events like this. So, yeah, we're excited to experience it firsthand.
Well, first time here, and I'm sure you guys are gonna have a great time. My guests today, Young D and Young Tribes, they are the musical duo behind the band Snotty Nose Rez Kids. We talked a little bit before about just how you're able to be so successful, not just with your music, but with your merch. Before we started, you guys told me sometimes you tour and you have 80 to 100 concerts a year, performances a year. That's a lot. But here at Shopify, we've been good partners for you in selling what you've got, selling representations of your band, your music, your messaging online. D, I'm just curious, why Shopify? Why did you decide to go with us?
It was just what worked best for us, you know, and it was very easy to set up. And it, we did once upon a time have through our own individual website, and it was just kind of hard to keep up with. So then once we switched to Shopify, it was like...
it's much more manageable, more organized.
We were able to like be on top.
Yeah.
And like it was
and it's just very accessible for our consumers.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just made our lives a lot easier.
Made your lives easier to distribute
all of the
merch, the shirts, all the
gear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when it comes to kind of getting your message and your stuff out there, what sort of tactics do you guys employ to get out the word about, you know, the newest shirt or the newest outfit?
You know, just rollout, just album rollout, spacing everything, timing everything, and making schedules for posts on Instagram, TikTok videos, stuff like that. You know, like in the early days, it was funny. Like we used to play basketball in a big tournament up north in northern BC, actually, called the All Native Basketball Tournament. And when we first started, we'd be going up like aisles, just holding merch up and just being like Snotty Nose Rez Kids, new band on the scene. And now just to see how that this has all come full circle, and now we're doing a podcast with Shopify, and it's crazy, man. Like just seeing like how far we've come. I just had a moment right here, you know. And yeah, just having the proper team behind us, having Shopify, having Brody like our manager, and just planning properly, I guess.
How about that, right? I mean, I do a lot of these interviews, and I often hear, regardless of what your background is, so many common threads. And the one I often hear is this idea of like physically carrying your gear or your merch around to people. Be like, hey, check out this shirt. Like, hey, you know, you guys, hey, check out Snotty Nose Rez Kids.
Sorry to interrupt you. We used to post, we used to go to like basketball tournaments and stuff and have pieces of paper like that and post designs on telephone poles and show them where to get it. Like, that's the shit we used to do.
We'd be putting up our own posters, trying to promote our own show.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just you, yeah. And in small towns, that's kind of unheard of.
Yeah.
So, like, people would be like, oh, yo, like, they'd see advertisement.
Like a flyer. Like
a flyer on telephone poles and stuff. And it'd be merch, it'd be everything. And it would catch your eye, you know, it worked because it wasn't a big city, you know, like you're going to like a corner and it's just loaded with those. Not like that in our small towns. So that was a tactic that we used.
Well, now you have international recognition. So I would imagine your...
it's a lot easier.
Well, I mean, you would imagine just your brand recognition is much more sophisticated now. So are your marketing strategies, right? Dee, when you think about where you are today and where you two were at these basketball tournaments, posting flyers, you know, what would you say to the entrepreneur listening, perhaps an indigenous entrepreneur who might be tuning in thinking, man, I want to emulate that success. I mean, what sort of advice might you have there?
Passion, patience, and perseverance, man. Like, we weren't getting, I would say, livable money until like 3 years in. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're going to start anything, especially like being an entrepreneur, like, you're going to eat shit for a few years. You know what I mean? So, like, you got to build, you got to build, you got to build. And our mentality was, you know, you only quit when you, like, you only lose when you quit.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just kept going, you know? It's like, okay, this merch drop, we sold this, this, this. And, like, keep in mind, like, he's, like, really business-minded. Like, he got his diploma and all that. And, you know, he would really lead the way. It's like, okay, these sizes sold a lot more, so let's order these ones a bit more next time. Okay, for this design, let's try do a little something new and this and that. And it's just like, just continuing to like push the boundaries.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to learn.
Yeah.
And don't be discouraged by the letdowns, because everything goes up from there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. And like you said, nothing happens overnight. So like those 1% overnight stories are very unrealistic. And just make sure that you love it. And it's almost like a passion project at first. It needs to be a passion project. And yeah, you need to love what you do. Because if you're in it for the money doesn't come right away, man. You're going to be waiting for a long time till you love that, if that's what it's about.
Well, it sounds like what you're talking about is experimentation and being comfortable experimenting. But I'd be remiss if I didn't ask a follow-up question to that, which is, you know, a lot of folks don't have the luxury of being able to experiment. And this becomes a barrier to entry socioeconomically for lots of communities, right? Yeah. Folks might not have the ability to take a big risk like that.
Yeah.
Right?
And I mean, like, you know, like we're lucky enough to be kind of in an industry that is digestible by people all over the world. So like, we make music, so it was easy for us to do what we love, because it was, you put it on a streaming platform instead of putting it in Shopify on a store and have people be like, oh, I hope they catch on to this. So we started with music, obviously. The music came first. So as long as we made music that people liked, the merch would come after that. And if our merch reflected our music, then we knew that the people that were digesting our music would be able to take in the merch. So it kind of went hand in hand with us for that as well. But as far as like, you know, like I'm doing like Savage Kids right now, and that's a startup, but also we're Snotty Nose Res Kids. So it's going to be like a lot easier because I have my foot in the door. But, you know, like we said, like everything starts from the ground up. So
yeah, also, I want to add one more thing to that. One of our sayings, like since we started doing music, was like, done is better than perfect. My best example to give is like, look at the very first episode of The Simpsons and then look at it now. You know what I mean? Like the animation wasn't all there. Maybe it was for the time that it came out, but like done is better than perfect. And if you're trying to wait till it's like perfect, chances are you're not really going to get there. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's done. Okay. Did the best we could. Let's put it out into the world and let's go on to the next one. You know what I mean? We had that mentality with every song and every album that we've put out, every piece of merch that we've put out, you know, and it's just,
and
keep going.
And as far as merch goes, I guess like, or not, yeah, merch or product, I guess. Don't oversaturate like your line.
Don't make too much stuff.
Yeah,
don't.
Don't make too much stuff at once, especially when you're just starting out. I think it was really important for us to have a couple pieces and make sure that those sell and that we're not left with a bunch of stuff in back order or just in our stock. And even to this day, like we're creating more like 8-9 pieces per drop. But back in the day, we'd make one.
Yeah.
We started with one piece. It was just like this, actually. And it said Minet across the chest. And, you know, I started doing that when we had no money. We had $0 to our name. And what I did was I went to Bang On. It was a print company, and it was just iron-on. You know, it was just Minet across the chest. And those sold. I was selling those for $50 a piece. And, you know, I'd get 15 made. I'd sell those out. I'd have more money. I'd go back. I'd do that again. I'd go back to the streets, be like, who wants these Minet tees? They got more popular. Next thing I know, I'm doing screen print orders. And I'm selling them for $50 a piece, $40 a piece, and moving like 100. And it started like that. It started just very gradually, and that was with $0 to my name, so anybody can do it. You know what I mean? As long as you got something behind the brand.
So we'll talk a little bit more about the merchandising, because I think it's really fascinating. Before we continue, I want to take a moment and talk to you, the listener. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shopify Masters on the podcast feed or on YouTube. And hey, this episode is part of our larger series. Do us a favor, look back through our catalog. You can see more of these episodes. And in the description box here, if you want to take charge of your own financial future, click on the link to a free trial from Shopify. Tribes, before we took that break there, we were talking about merchandising and this idea of limited releases. Why was that the right strategy for you guys?
I think more than anything, it was more like working with what you had. And, you know, a couple kids from small community, Northwest, BC, Little Res, coming to the big city, we didn't have a lot. We didn't have a lot of money to start up with the company. So we worked with what we had, and we bought a certain amount of T-shirts, and we just got them laminate press, you know, like iron-ons, and started there and worked from the ground up. So once we sold all that, we'd go buy more and keep doing that until it caught on. And then eventually it did.
Well, clearly it's caught on. Mm-hmm. Indeed. I mean, I would imagine when you think about how different things are now, must really, really strike you as being quite incredible, right?
Oh, for sure. Like, just to see the growth, like, you know, I'm a sucker for nostalgia, you know what I mean? And like, you're like, you know, the Facebook memories that pop up every day? Yeah, I check that. And like, I'll just see.
He always sends me those memories.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, on this day,
Trump's like, again, you said this again?
But it's cool, man, because like, when we started off with that very first tee where that we like ironed on, like, we still got friends and fam that still have those T-shirts.
It's the rocket.
Yeah, and like from the shirts that we made for the first album, the second album, like we do our absolute best to make it like a standalone piece. And then with the fans that still hold on to those, it's like memorabilia now, you know? And that's truly what the goal is all the time.
And it's so funny to see, like, sometimes we'll be at a show in middle of nowhere, you know, and not even expecting to have day ones out there. And people will come up with, like, the Mene T-shirt, like the one that
the
original one. Mene means brother in our language. And they'd come to our shows and be like, yo, I got this when you guys first started. I've been here since day one. I'm like, damn, that's crazy.
That's love.
Because that was a while ago, you know? Like, yeah. So it definitely does make you feel good to see that.
Well, I'm just like D insofar as I'm the guy who sends his friends, the old Facebook memories. So if any of my friends are watching, they'll be like, yeah, that's Ben. That's what he does. Right? But since then, you've become much more sophisticated with your marketing, especially on social media. I mean, you have your music, but also you have a pretty clear strategy about what you're doing online. Walk us through that and how that's evolved over time.
Yeah. I mean, our team has gotten bigger. You know, like the band has gotten bigger. Like the merch drops have gotten bigger, you know, we put everything on Shopify too, and it just makes it easier. So I think the strategies are still the same. We stick to one color for each design. We don't saturate that. We don't put a red, a green, a white.
You save costs there as
well,
probably.
Yeah, we save costs, and it just makes it easier for us on tour, like when we're selling it and people are like looking at it. Like, you know what, like the merch tables?
Yeah, like if you're at a concert hall and there's one of those merch tables. Yeah.
It saves Brody a lot of time from being like, okay, yeah, this. And then, oh no, I'll try it in that color. Brody's our manager. Yeah.
I mean, we have done like colors in the past on our merch. And it's like anything with, especially like being an entrepreneur, it's like you live and learn. You know what I mean? Like you just got to learn as you go.
But we got a team behind us too. Like, and Brody, our manager, he is a beast on just our scheduling and our planning. And we have really good album rollouts, which in turn turns to good merch rollouts. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like every year or two, we'll put out an album and it'll be like a really big album, especially like in North America. And we got a lot of big fan base. So like it'll sell all year long. And then we do like you said before, we do like the 80 to 100 stop shows a year. So it just, the merch does really well for us.
So a combination of your shows,
in-person
selling of your merchandise and also selling online.
Online,
that's been a successful strategy for you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Tribes, you've also got your own new line.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that in the interview a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
What is the idea behind that, and how does it relate to what you two are doing as cousins, as a band, as a rap group, and just in general in your community?
Well, Savage Kids like came up with Savage Kids like a few years ago, a few years after we came up with Snotty Nose Res Kids. And Snotty Nose Res Kids is about showing where you come from, wherever you go, and just being a good human, you know, and like, and just being good to people and them being good back to you and bringing community with you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like we express ourselves the way that we do. We may look a little rough around the edges, you know, but like there's beauty in all that. And Savage Kids is just being the raw, true version of yourself, no matter what environment you're in, and just making sure that everyone knows who you are.
So not adapting to the environment, but having the environment adapt to you.
Exactly. And that's what like Savage Kids is kind of like built around. And it's just for, you know, it's for the guys that were the outcasts in the back of the room growing up. And yeah, so this is our debut for Savage Kids. But, you know, like I'm a stylist at heart. You know, like that's always been fashion's my passion. You know, as corny as that sounds. But like no. I do everything for Snotty Nose Res Kids. We don't have a stylist. Like he has a couple of bars about that. But yeah, it kind of
so you're styling up D then?
Yes. I style D. I style like the video shoots. I style the album covers. I do the merch as well. Savage Kids. So like everything kind of goes hand in hand for me. And it's kind of like an adaptation of my mindset. So it's just like how my brain works. Like how we look is like how my brain works.
You know, we've been cultivating some themes doing these interviews, especially here in Santa Fe. And one of the things that keeps popping up is this idea of reclamation, right? Reclaiming spaces, reclaiming identity, reclaiming words even. D, I'm curious, this concept of Savage Kids or just Snotty Nose Res Kids in general, are you reclaiming something and what is it?
We're just becoming the people that we've always wanted to be. And we weren't always allowed to do that. You know, like even going back to high school, you know, he's told me stories about him trying to go to like a party with the high school team, but like wasn't allowed in just because of for who he is and where he comes
from. Basketball
team? Yeah. And like that's happened to us time and time again to where we were like just shamed into being who we are. And it's, now we're flipping the script. It's like, fuck that. This is who I am. And this is how we're going to express ourselves, you know? Like, whether it's through music, whether it's through fashion, whatever it may be. Like, the more lanes that we have to express ourselves, like, that's exactly what we're going to do.
Yeah, and also, like Snotty Nose Res Kids and Savage Kids, it is a form of, like, reclaiming words and, like, stuff that was, like, kind of invented to bring us down, you know. Savage, like, you know, the movie Pocahontas, obviously.
Sure, of course.
So there's a song in that. It goes like, savage kids, savage, or savages, barely even human. And we beat a Catholic school growing up, and I think it was netball. Like, we whooped their asses. And when we were done, they started chanting savages, like, and it was messed up, man. So like if that really stuck with me growing up, and me and my dad had a conversation about it, and he said like that's just the way the world is. It made me remember what the message was behind that, and it was that society was built to take us down and to take us down a notch and keep us there and keep us under their boot and not to let that stuff like kind of get to you, but just be proud of who you are and the skin that you're in, and don't be comfortable, be confident, you know? And that's words that we live by. And so Savage Kids is just like a memory of that and just letting them know that we are truly, truly, unapologetically ourselves in everything we do. In
a reclamation
of
self.
Exactly. And we will continue to create in our names and just create the vision that we see.
And D, you wanted to add something from a little bit earlier.
Yeah, when it comes to, like, you know, he does, like, not just Big Hand in the merch, and obviously with Savage Kids, and, like, getting the fits right for music videos and stuff like that. Like, I know what he brings, you know what I mean? And, like, one of the reasons why, like, we work so well together is because, like, I'm more on, like, the musical, like, music side, whether it's, like, being the engineer for us or okay, let's get this rough mix or like whatever it may be, you know? And like, that's truly why, like another reason why we've been able to have the success that we've had is because we just balance each other. You know what I mean?
And knowing like, your strengths, yeah, delegating your weaknesses.
Like,
right?
He's like, extroverted. I'm more introverted. I'm more comfortable being in the studio on my laptop doing music. You know what I mean? And he's good and like way beyond good when it comes to like networking and talking to people. And okay, I got this person to help on the album cover. I got this person to help on the album cover. I got so-and-so to, they're gonna, you know, hook us up with like jewelry and stuff like that, or like whatever the case may be, you know what I mean? Like, and that's truly why, like, it just works.
Like, yeah.
I
get us out there, I get everything out there, and he keeps us grounded. Right. You know what I mean? So it works.
I'll tell you what also has worked. Meeting you two, sitting down together, talking about Snotty Nose Rez Kids, talking about Savage Kids, Young D, Young Tribes. To you both, thank you so much for doing this. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having us.
And thank you for watching this episode of Shopify Masters. Please make sure to subscribe to this channel to catch more episodes.